This is John W. Whitehead, author of Battlefield America, The War on the American People, bringing you a message about the state of our nation. The government never cedes power willingly. Neither should we. If the COVID-19 debacle taught us one thing, it is that, as Justice Neil Gorsuch acknowledged, and I'm quoting here, rule by indefinite emergency edict risks leaving all of us with a shell of a democracy and civil liberties just as hollow. End of quote. Unfortunately, we still haven't learned. We're still allowing ourselves to be fully distracted by circus politics and a constant mirage of bad news screaming for attention. 4 years after the onset of COVID-19 pandemic, which gave world governments, including our own, a convenient excuse for expanding their powers, abusing their authority, and further oppressing their constituents, there's something being concocted in the dens of power. The danger of martial law persists. Any government so willing to weaponize one national crisis after another in order to expand its powers and justify all manner of government tyranny in the so-called name of national security will not hesitate to override the Constitution and lock down the nation again. You'd better get ready, because that so-called crisis could be anything. Civil unrest, national emergencies, unforeseen economic collapse, loss of functioning political and legal order, purposeful domestic resistance or insurgency, pervasive public health emergencies, and catastrophic natural and human disasters. COVID-19 was a test to see how quickly the populace would march in lockstep with the government's dictate, no questions asked, and how little resistance the citizenry would offer up to the government's power grabs when made in the name of so-called national security. We the people failed the test spectacularly. Characterized by Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch as the greatest intrusions on civil liberties in the peacetime history of our country, he said, the government's COVID-19 response to the COVID-19 pandemic constituted a massively intrusive, coercive, and authoritarian assault on the right of individual sovereignty over one's life, self, and private property. The governments, both federal and state, handling of the COVID-19 pandemic delivered a knockout blow to our civil liberties, empowering the police state to flex its powers by way of a bevy of lockdowns, mandates, restrictions, contact tracing programs, heightened surveillance, censorship, over-criminalization, and so on and so on. Every day brought a drastic new set of restrictions by government bodies. Most have been delivered by way of executive orders, by the way, at the local, state, and federal level, that were eager to flex their muscles for the so-called good, quote-unquote, of the populace. There was talk of mass testing for COVID-19 antibodies, screening checkpoints, mass surveillance in order to carry out contact tracing, immunity passports to allow those who have recovered from the virus to move around more freely, snitch tip lines for reporting so-called rule breakers to the authorities, and heavy fines and jail time for those who dared to venture out without a mask, congregate and worship without the government's blessing, or reopen their businesses without the government's say-so. It was even suggested that government officials should mandate mass vaccinations and, as they said, ensure that people without proof of vaccination would not be allowed, well, anywhere. Those tactics were already being used abroad. In China, for example, which adopted a zero-tolerance, zero-COVID strategy, whole cities were forced into home lockdowns for weeks on end, resulting in mass shortages of food and household supplies. Reports surfaced of residents trading cigarettes for cabbage, dishwashing liquid for apples, and sanitary pads for a small pile of vegetables. One resident traded in a Nintendo Switch console for a packet of instant noodles and two steamed buns. For those unfortunate enough to contract COVID-19, China constructed quarantine camps, as they called them, throughout the country. Massive complexes boasting thousands of small metal boxes containing a little more than a bed and a toilet. Detainees, including children, pregnant women, and the elderly, were reportedly ordered to leave their homes in the middle of the night, transported to the quarantine camps and buses, and held in isolation. If this last scenario sounds chillingly familiar, it should. 80 years ago, another authoritarian regime established more than 44,000 quarantine camps for those perceived as enemies of the state, which meant being possibly racially inferior, politically unacceptable, or simply non-compliant. While the majority of those imprisoned in the Nazi concentration camps, forced labor camps, incarceration sites, and ghettos were Jews, there were also Polish nationals, Gypsies, Russians, political dissidents, resistance fighters, Jehovah's Witnesses, and homosexuals. Culturally, we have become so fixated on the mass murders of Jewish prisoners by the Nazis that we overlook the fact that the purpose of these concentration camps were initially intended to, and I'm quoting here, incarcerate and intimidate the leaders of political, social, and cultural movements that the Nazis perceived to be a threat to the survival of the regime, unquote. How do you get from there to here? From Auschwitz, concentration camps, to COVID quarantine centers. You don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to connect the dots. You just have to recognize the truth and the warning. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. This is about what happens when good, generally decent people, distracted by manufactured crises, polarizing politics, and fighting that divides the populace into warring us versus them camps, fail to take note of the looming danger that threatens to wipe freedom from the map and place all of us in chains. It's about what happens when any government is empowered to adopt a comply or suffer the consequences mindset that is enforced through mandates, lockdowns, penalties, detention centers, martial law, and a disregard for the rights of the individuals. This is the slippery slope. A government empowered to restrict movements, limit individual liberty, and isolate undesirables to prevent the spread of a disease is a government that has the power to lock down a country, label whole segments of the population a danger to national security, and force those undesirables, in other words, extremists, dissidents, troublemakers, and so on, into isolation so they don't contaminate the rest of the populace. The slippery slope begins with propaganda campaigns about the public good being more important than individual liberty, and it ends with lockdowns and concentration camps. As I make clear in my book, Battlefield America, The War on the American People, and in its fictional counterpart, The Eric Ware Diaries, the danger signs are everywhere now. COVID-19 was merely one crisis in a long series of crises that the government has shamelessly exploited in order to justify its power grabs and acclimate the citizenry to a state of martial law disguised as emergency powers. Everything I have warned about for years, government overreach, invasive surveillance, martial law, abuse of powers, militarized police, weaponized technology used to track and control the citizenry, and so on, has become part of the government's arsenal of terrifying lockdown powers should the need arise. What we should be bracing for is what comes next.
The Rutherford Institute is doing its part to push back against the police state and make the government play by the rules of the Constitution. But we can't fight these battles alone. To join the resistance, visit our website at www.rutherford.org and check out our library of thought-provoking commentaries, legal resources, and so much more. Subscribe to our email alerts and I will send you my weekly commentary, Rutherford Press Alerts, and a weekly rundown of pertinent headlines and news articles to keep you apprised of the growing threats to our freedoms. And finally, if you are able, please consider making a tax-deductible donation to the Rutherford Institute by again visiting us online at www.rutherford.org or donate using PayPal. Your donation allows the Rutherford Institute to push back against the government's power grabs, corruption, and ongoing assaults on the Constitution. Together, we can make America free again.